Psalm 27, and David writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may camp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." My purpose tonight is not really to explain every single word of this psalm, but maybe just to go through it and bring out certain aspects which, when I read it and I've been thinking about it, have come sort of to my attention and sort of have helped me. I mean, in these days in which we live, I wonder what our confidence is in. I mean, over the last years, and all the main sort of pillars of society, there's been questions about, really about that, and even the banks, the government, the MPs, the newspapers, all sorts of things which we would consider were pillars, if like, of our society. They've all had big question marks over how they perform. And what is our confidence is? Well, tonight we're going to see where David's confidence was. His confidence was not in himself, in his own ability, what he could do. His confidence was in God. So we're going to look at David's confidence in God. We're going to look at David's desire for God. We're going to look at David's assurance in God and of God. And also, lastly, David's encouragement sort of from God. And the opening verse really sets the seal. There is no doubt or uncertainty in David's mind when he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." David knew his soul was once in darkness, and it was the Lord Jehovah who enlightened his soul and delivered him from sin. God, by his grace, gave David the faith to believe, and in God's light, David saw light. And because he had this personal relationship with God, he could then say with confidence, because he knew his God, "Whom shall I fear? Who shall frighten me?" David said in one of his psalms, "In God I have put my trust." And because David's trust was in God, he need not fear. It is another one, isn't it? "I will trust in God, I will not fear men." David's confidence was in God. David, as we also read in the first verse here, that his confidence that, and this is important, that the Lord is the strength of his life. Not only that from time to time God gave him more energy, more strength to do things, but the tenor of his life and the way he lived his life was in the Lord's strength. The Lord was the strength of his life. And when we saw him come to Goliath, what did he say? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He didn't come and say, I'm coming in my own strength. I come in the God of hosts. And it was God who delivered David. And it was his strength when Saul was chasing him. God was David's strength also when he became king and Absalom rebelled against him. David knew that the Lord was in control of his life and the Lord was ready to help and keep him safe through difficult and dangerous situations, both in the present and in the future. And he could say with confidence, of whom shall I be afraid? He writes in another psalm, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David knew and was aware that there's wicked people around him who tried to do him harm. But he had the confidence, God, that they would not succeed against him, nor weaken him, because the source of his strength was the Lord, and he would not fear them. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. And sometimes we can't fear what man can do to me. To you. And remember when I worked for the company for 6 months, and it was the most awful job I've ever had in my whole life, and even after 30 years now I get emotional if I start talking about it. But when I had rang the boss up, I really needed this verse, and I had it printed out, that sort of when I rang this man up, I would not fear him because God was with me. And God can be real to us in our situations. So that's really the outs of it. But obviously we've got to apply to ourselves, haven't we? And can we say tonight, each of us, that we have been brought out of darkness into the glorious light of the gospel? We have been delivered from our sins. We can say with confidence, you and I tonight, that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Our sin has been forgiven. We have eternal life. We will be raised on the last day. And if the answer is yes to those, well, we can praise God. We need not fear, for the Lord has done all things for our salvation. We have a duty and a responsibility as children of God to live for him. The problem is, it's my problem, it may not be your problem, but experience tells us that we in and of ourselves do not have the ability within us to please him as we should. And we need to acknowledge our weakness. And we need to acknowledge that we need help from outside ourselves. There is a song, I am weak, but thou art strong. And praise be to God, we can have that strength to live for him, not in our own strength. We can have the Lord as the strength of our life. The Lord says in the New Testament, doesn't he? My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we can live in confidence that we can, with Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you see, it's not us, it's not our strength, it's Christ enabling us to do things and to please him. But of course, if the question to the answer, or the answer to the question is, to the Lord is my light and salvation, is no, and we must present the gospel, well, we're in a desperate situation. We are still in our sin. We are still under the wrath of God. We need our sins forgiven. But the good news is, the brilliant news is, that God has sent his beloved Son into the world to save sinners. God put our sin on his beloved Son Jesus, whom then he judged and punished for our sin. Jesus has paid the full redemption price for our sin by his death and his resurrection. We need to repent of our sins tonight, and we need to ask God's forgiveness tonight. We must believe that Jesus, believe in Jesus and all that he stands for, all that he is, and receive him as our Savior. And if we do, we then will have peace with God. There is then now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But we know if we are saved, don't we? And it's brilliant to repeat this verse, which we all know, and you can say it within your own minds. It's, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. But David not only had a desire for God, a confidence in God, he had a desire for God. And as we read in verse 4 onwards, it says, one thing David requested from the Lord, it was not for riches, it was not for more power, it was not for fame, but it was to dwell in the house of the Lord, at the tabernacle in those days, not for a short time, but all the days of his life. David's pleasure and delight was to seek and to search, to draw near to God, to remain in his presence, to abide in his fellowship, to worship and have communion continually with his Lord. And the wonderful words, I don't know how to explain it really, it says, and David wanted to behold, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord Jehovah. To gaze upon, to behold the beauty of the Lord. The Lord in, it's not a physical thing, only the wonderfulness about God, all the loveliness about God, all the agreeableness about God, all his holiness and his truth and his grace and his faithfulness and his power and his mercy and his glory, the beauty of Christ, the essence of God. We can, and David's desire was that he wanted this. He wanted to come and he wanted to meditate and contemplate on the beauty of the Lord. No wonder David wanted to do it all the days of his life, because in fact, all the days of eternity wouldn't be long enough to behold the beauty of the Lord. And David wants to inquire in his temple. What David wanted, he wanted also to consider God, to search out and to learn more about him, not only with his mind, but also with his heart, that he may not just want more information about God, but that he may know God. That's what he wanted. And it's different. There's a difference between knowing a lot of information, but knowing God. That's what we should have. And the question to us, brothers and sisters, tonight is this: do we have a desire to seek out and to search out our Lord? Do we have a passion or a desire to draw near to God? If we do, we are told he will draw near to us. There's a wonderful verse in Corinthians, and it says this: God has called us into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We can have fellowship with our Saviour. And isn't it wonderful? Our Saviour, Jesus, has called us friends. So why would we not want to talk to our friends and have fellowship with our friend? Jesus said himself, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. Oh, isn't it wonderful, folks? Isn't it wonderful that we can have fellowship with the one who loved us and gave himself for us? But do we have the desire for it? Do we have the desire to behold the Lord in all his beauty? Or as Isaiah put it, to see the King in his beauty. As I said, we're not talking about physical beauty, because we read, don't we, that Jesus, there was no beauty that we should desire him. We're talking about his character, his being, his goodness and love, as I said before. And folks, may we have a desire also that when we worship our God, that we may worship him in the beauty of holiness. Our desire will be to lift our souls by the enabling of the Holy Spirit to praise our God and to think on him. This is why we're saying, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. And can we say, and I call my hands up, I'm sure nobody can see it in me, but we should aim that the beauty of Christ should be seen in us. And also we should have a desire, like David had a desire, to inquire and to search out and to learn more about our Lord, to know more of his power and his glory, to understand and appreciate more of all he has done for us in, as Gerald would put it, so great salvation. I would remember Gerald saying that. Our souls, let us by learn, as Jesus said, learn of me. Do we want to know, and our last hymn is entitled this, more about Jesus? Do we really want to know more about the one who loved us? Do we really want to know more about the one who died for us? Do we really want to know more about the one who left glory of heaven to come down and save us? Do we want to know more about the Jesus who's going to come back to us? Do we want to know more about Jesus who we're going to spend eternity with? As believers, our desire should be, yes, we want to learn more about Jesus. David goes on, and he goes on in the psalm from verse 5, and we're talking about David, the assurance that he had with God, in God. Because David's relationship with the Lord was not a theoretical or a formal, but it was a personal and an experimental relationship he had with him. In times of trouble, and evil, David's assurance was, the Lord would lead me to the rock that is higher than I. His assurance was that his Lord would shelter him, protect him, keep him safe. His assurance was he would be delivered from his enemies. David knew that the Lord was his rock, his fortress, his deliverer. His God was his strength, in whom he would trust. And because David knew and had this relationship and was assured that God was all these things to him, it caused David to be joyful and to sing God's praise. In another psalm it says, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, Most High. And I suppose that's why I chose one of the hymns, To God Be the Glory. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. That we, because of what God has done, we should be a praiseful, thankful people to him. And we go on to read in this that David was assured that the Lord would hear and answer his prayer. But David didn't presume, as we read in this psalm, he didn't presume on God when he prayed. He prays, Hear, O Lord, was the cry from David's heart, asking God for his mercy and favour to answer him. God does answer prayer, but he does it in his own time and his own way. And the problem with us, and the problem with me, is that I want the prayers answered now. Not only do I want them answered now, I want them the way I want them. And it's hard, isn't it, to leave it with the Lord and to know what he does is best. The Lord asks David to seek his face, and David obeys and he seeks God's praise. And David's prayer is this, that the Lord would not hide his face from him or forsake him in his anger. David willingly acknowledges that the Lord was his help and deliverer. And even if his father and mother forsook him, David's confidence in the Lord was that the Lord would continue to care for him. He trusted in God, and God would not let him down. David also asked the Lord to teach him. Again, as I said before, David was not just after intellectual head knowledge, but what David wanted, and surely maybe we want as well, is the heart knowledge. David wanted the Holy Spirit to teach him, to point out to David the spiritual truths so that he could understand the meaning of God's ways. And knowing the meaning of God's ways, that he may walk in those ways so he would not dishonour the Lord. So he's after what the Lord wanted, what the Lord's ways were, and not just what he thought or he wanted them to be. David asked the Lord to lead him and to guide him in smooth paths, because David was surrounded by hostile enemies and people who were ready, violent men even, who watched him and were ready to accuse him at the shortest of notices. And he needed God's protection. He needed God's keeping. He needed God's deliverance. My friends, as children of the living God, we can be assured of God's thoughts towards us. We read in Jeremiah, don't we, that God's thoughts are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And when trouble does come, as we all experience it comes, he has said, I'm your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God has promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And one of the verses which I like in Deuteronomy, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord protects his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Notice a lot of scripture was quoted. The scripture is the place that we go to. It's where God has spoken that we get our help from. That's where we need to turn to. We need to turn to the Lord. We need to turn to the Word. We need to seek him. And isn't it wonderful, as David was caused to pray and to be joyful, when God brings us unto salvation, doesn't David write again that he puts a new song in at my mouth, praise to our God. And that's a wonderful thing that he does for us. As we sang before, praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise foretell? Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise with us the God of grace. We can praise God for so great salvation. We can praise God because he's there for us. We can praise God because he will never let us down. We said that we should praise God. Yes, we can praise God because even before we pray, it tells us he knows what our need is. It tells in Isaiah, before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Yes, we may feel at times, folks, that we are by ourselves. We may feel at times that there is no one helps, or maybe no one cares. But praise God, He is with us. Praise God, we can cast all our care upon him, for he cares for us. We can praise God that by his Holy Spirit, he will guide us into all truth. We can praise God that he will lead us by his word. His lamp is a lamp unto my feet. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And when David said, shows us your ways, O Lord, teach us your paths in your truth and teach me. There's that old sort of most popular verses learned at Sunday school, is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We can praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We can praise God, from all blessings flow from him. But we do have these last few verses of chapter 27, verse 13 and 14 to deal with. And we go through these very quickly. And David says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David was not immune from the trials and difficulties of life. David knew his own limitations and weaknesses. And because he knew all this, and because of the things around him and the pressures he was under, he would have lost heart. But he didn't. It says, unless he had believed. What did he believe? He believed himself, he could pull himself up by his own straps? No. He believed that he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David believed the Lord was perfect. He believed that the Lord's hand was upon him. He believed that he would see, because of God, his goodness and his faithfulness to him. And when David's soul was cast down, and his soul and his spirit disquieted within him, his hope was in God, that he would yet praise him. And so David waited on the Lord, and he was of good courage. And it says here, for he believed the Lord would strengthen his heart. It's all looking away from himself and looking to God. That's why the chorus we had, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's all of Christ. It's all of Christ. It's all of Christ. It's none of us. When we look ourselves, we fall. When we look at ourselves, we will get cast down. When we look to ourselves, our souls will be disquieted within us. And yet, this is what we do so often. I do so often. We've got to learn to look to Christ. For he's the only one, only sure one, that can help us and be with us. We need Christ to strengthen our heart. And we need to wait patiently on the Lord. And waiting is not easy, but it's needful. We read in Psalm 62, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. And David waited in confident expectation of the Lord's help. My friends, when we are losing heart, when our souls are cast down, when our spirits are disquieted within us, when we are feeling discouraged, we need to wait on the Lord. We need to hope in God. We need to turn to the Lord and not away from him. We need to believe what the Lord says when he says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And we are to be strong and of good courage and be not afraid. And we should wait in confident expectation that the Lord will help. There's a verse in Isaiah, and I couldn't get away from not reading this, I'm afraid, folks. And it's a wonderful verse. And it's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. And it says these things. Therefore, the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. So in summing up, David's confidence was in God's salvation alone. And that's where our confidence should be, in God's salvation alone. David's desire was to know more of God, as his children, surely our desire should be also to know more about our God. David's confidence was God cared and would hear his prayer, teach and lead him. Surely our confidence should be God cares for us and will teach us and lead us also. David believed in the goodness of God, and he would wait and be of good courage, for he knew the Lord would strengthen his heart. Brothers and sisters, let us believe in the Lord's goodness to us. Let us be of good courage. Let us wait upon him with great expectations that the Lord will strengthen our hearts.